They're going to tee it up for the 120th U.S. Open this week in Westchester County. Gary Woodland defending the title he won at Pebble Beach last summer. Our guest hosts the Tiger Woods podcast as part of the Believe Podcast Network on Twitter, at Believe Podcast. His handle is at Mr. Rogers 99. Cam Rogers checks back in. Cam, appreciate the time. How are you holding up during the craziness that is now our lives?
Steve, great to be with you again, sir. Excited for Major Championship Golf. I'm doing great here on the East Coast. I hope you're doing okay out there. I have some buddies out in San Francisco, and they're battling through this air quality, so hope you are well, sir.
I appreciate that. We're hanging in, and we'll just leave it at that. You know, I mentioned last year at Pebble, this year it's Winged Foot, last hosted when Jeff Ogilvy won 14 years ago. You know, it hosted in the 90s, the 80s. You had Billy Casper in the late 50s. Bobby Jones won there in the 20s. And like Baltusrol, Oakmont, Marion, just how special is it beyond being our national open when it's at one of those legendary venues?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this week in particular, Steve. Even amid the NBA Finals, the NFL, college football, this is going to be a really special week on the PGA Tour. Mike Davis, the USGA's chief executive, said it best. He called Wingfoot the quintessential U.S. Open golf course. And if you want to go off of really difficult conditions and high scores, I think he's right, right? I mean, you look at 2006, Jeff Ogilvy was +5. 84 was actually 4 under par, but then you go back to 74, +7. No major has had a higher winning score since. So for you golf fans out there who are excited to watch PGA Tour players struggle, you're going to get it this week. And David Faraday said it best, Steve, quote unquote, there will be whining, and surely there will be.
I want to get to Dustin Johnson. You know, he won the Northern Trust last month. He was 30 under, just won the 15 mil at the Tour Championship. Yet I was looking at your rankings. You don't have him among the top 10. What was your thinking, you know, that leaves this guy, the 2016 champ at Oakmont, maybe a little lower down the list than some might have thought?
Yeah, how dare I, right? I don't put Dustin Johnson in there. No John Rahm, no Rory McIlroy. What's going on? Well, here's the deal. Steve, sometimes when you make predictions, they don't really make sense based off the data. What does the data show us? Well, Dustin Johnson should be right there on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday. 100% get that argument. Here's the thing about golf, and what we're realizing a little bit during this PGA Tour restart, a lot of these golfers are going through their little mini spurts, their runs of really elite golf. Bryson DeChambeau did it toward the beginning of the restart. Jason Day at one point had 4 straight top 10 finishes, and then he teetered off a little bit. Colin Morikawa won the PGA Championship. We haven't heard much from him. So maybe there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover coming for Dustin Johnson this week, Steve, and understandably so. The guy is $15 million richer being the FedEx Cup champion. He just won the PGA Tour Player of the Year award. So that tells me maybe a little bit of humble pie could be coming this week if Dustin Johnson isn't careful. And look, I mean, this is a really, I think, unpredictable tournament, just because if you hit it wayward once, you could go quad and then be out of the tournament, +4 on a particular hole. So I think that's kind of what my thinking is in terms of Dustin Johnson. But hey, I mean, the guy could most certainly prove me wrong. But variance is very much a part of the game of golf. And we could see a finish of like T25, right? But I don't think that's qualifying for my top 10 power ranking.
All right, we're talking U.S. Open at Winged Foot with Cam Rogers, who does the Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Let's get to Tiger. He started out the last major, the PGA, in good shape with a 68. A couple of 72s took him out, but he hung in, shot a 67 Sunday, ended in the top 40. Where his game is now, this track, how realistic is it, do you think, for him to, if not necessarily win Major 16, at least be on that first page come Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I think I was on these very airwaves talking about Tiger's chances at the PGA, and I said, look, I didn't think they were really good, and he ended up finishing tied for 37th. Look, I mean, his recent form is just kind of eh. He's not particularly poor with his irons or his driver or his short game or anything, really. He's just kind of floating around on leaderboards. He hasn't missed a cut in quite some time. But, I mean, like I said, his recent form really doesn't stand out. Tied for 51st at the BMW. That was a field of 70 golfers, by the way. T58 at the Northern Trust. I talked about the PGA, and then the Memorial was T40. So, I mean, the one thing I will point to is his putter. And I do think that is somewhat of a volatile part of his game right now, where sometimes he's above average, sometimes he's really, really poor. And I find it hard to believe even a golfer of Tiger's caliber to somewhere, somehow figure it out on Wingfoot, right? Maybe he figures it out at the Safeway Open, Steve, but not at Wingfoot. And so I am really lowering my expectations for Tiger's chances this week. Certainly better than Phil Mickelson, who we can perhaps talk about as well. But look, I think Tiger is going to try his very best to just grind it out there. I really think the best strategy for him, Steve, is go long irons off the tee, keep it in the fairway, and then hit long approach shots into the greens. He doesn't need to make a lot of birdies, so he doesn't really need to hit the ball close, and he's really good with his long iron. So that should be the strategy, somewhat of a British Open strategy, because as you know, as a New York guy, Steve, Wingfoot, you know, it's not necessarily a straight track. Not a lot of straight holes, plenty of dog legs.
I loved when I saw who you predicted to win, because if anybody who listens to this show, every time a major surfaces, I always say, which of the two non-Americans, Matsuyama or Tommy Fleetwood, is going to get their one? Of course, Fleetwood is the Brit, fourth at the Open to Koepka in 2017, second to Koepka again in 2018. What do you like about his game and maybe how it matches up with Wingfoot?
I'll tell you what, I actually made a last-minute switch today. Hideki was actually number one, and then it bumped him down a little bit. So it's funny you mentioned that. But hey, I mean, Tommy Fleetwood actually played on the European Tour last week in Portugal, and he admitted that he was working on his game, which, you know, is really interesting to me, because if you're working on your game, you're really not trying to win, but yet he still finished inside the top 10. So he, A, was working on his game and was willing to admit it, and then B, clearly figured something out. And that tells me he's going to carry that into Wingfoot. And as you talked about, a guy who has that U.S. Open type of build, right? He has two top 10 finishes at this tournament, has yet to miss the cut at the U.S. Open. So he is that prototypical major championship golfer. And all of a sudden, he's starting to figure it out as well. That's a deadly combination, I think, for the rest of the golfers going against Tommy Fleetwood this week. I think he is very much going to be a part of the picture, and as you said, I am predicting him to hoist the trophy on Sunday evening.
One general question, we continue with Cam Rogers of the Tiger Woods podcast. You brought up a really key point on the podcast. Historically, we've seen guys like Jack, Fred Couples, and others contend at the Masters late in their careers because they know the course. I guess you could throw in Tom Watson when he almost won the British at 60, but you pointed out certain recent tournaments might give a better gauge of those whose game might be best suited to this course. Kind of explain your theory there and how this all ties together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Masters has been really kind to the older golfer because the rough is not as long and it usually yields birdies even for the older golfers because they can hit it close on those par fives. And it's a scoreable course relative to the other major championships. For the U.S. Open, if you're a 50-year-old and you're hitting it into the rough, I mean, there's just no absolute way. A, because you probably don't have the strength relative to the rest of the field. And then B, I mean, you're not going to be hitting it close. You're probably going to be hacking it for your third shot. And so you're scrambling for par at that point. So I do think the U.S. Open really is for a particular type of golfer. And yes, on the younger side of things, you know, the British Open, you can hit irons off the tee and be way down there, right? So distance really isn't a problem, a la a Tom Watson in 2009. So for the U.S. Open, it's going to be a really long course this particular week at Wingfoot, over 7,400 yards, which is actually really long for a par 70. And that just puts a lot of guys who are over the age of 45, 46 behind the eight ball. Because then you're just going to have longer approaches into the green, and that's assuming you hit the fairway.
Yeah.
You know, if you miss the fairway, you're, you know, praying for saving par on in three. So the guys that have that build, Steve, a Fleetwood, a Shoffley, a Justin Thomas, Matsuyama, I think is the prototypical U.S. Open player. Beautiful tee to green, sometimes really, really bad with the putter, but sometimes he can be average, and that's all you need if you're that good tee to green.
Interesting you mentioned JT. I wanted to bring up Justin Thomas, who was second to DJ at the Tour Championship early last month, won the World Golf Classic, the St. Jude, had a crazy Sunday rally. But aside from that top 10 back in 2017, has not been a great U.S. Open player, considering where his game is now. What makes you think he's going to be a primo contender?
Yeah, I think Justin Thomas can sometimes have some volatility to his game, and I think that certainly shows in his U.S. Open resume, missing the cut last year but finished ninth a few years ago. So you can kind of get some really elite play, and then sometimes, you know, he drops off a little bit, and sometimes that has to do with his putter. Sometimes it can just be really, really bad, even if his tee to green game is absolutely elite. I love his iron, Steve. I think he is the best iron player in the world. He, Colin Morikawa, and Tiger Woods are all really up there. And I think if you hit the greens in regulation at the percentage that he does, it's going to give you a chance week in and week out, especially at a U.S. Open. And the last nine winners at the U.S. Open finished inside the top 20 in the field in greens in regulation percentage. I'm quite confident that Mr. Justin Thomas will be inside that top 20, which gives him a really real shot to hoist the trophy on Sunday. I like his game a lot.
All right, couple final thoughts for Cam Rogers of the Tiger Woods podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. You picked Matthew Fitzpatrick as your sleeper, who played in the States. He's a Brit at Northwestern, won the 2013 U.S. Amateur, and been in the top 15 of the last two U.S. Opens, played really well on Sunday last year. I'm not really familiar with him. What could you tell us about this young guy's game?
Yeah, Matthew Fitzpatrick is that prototypical, grind-it-out type of golfer that I'm looking for this week, Steve. If this was the Travelers Championship, a birdie fest, I would not be looking at Mr. Matthew Fitzpatrick at all. But he is so good in terms of bogey avoidance. That's a big-time stat that I'm staring at for this week. And Fitzpatrick is up there. Webb Simpson is right there as well. So I think he has, A, the resume, like you mentioned, a couple of top 12 finishes the last 2 years. B, his ability to avoid bogeys, and really his major championship experience. He's a young guy, but still has been there and done that. He's been in the arena plenty of times on the PGA Tour, so that lends me to believe maybe he won't win, maybe he won't finish inside the top five, but I'd like him to be on that first page of the leaderboard at some point on Sunday, so certainly a name to watch for.
And lastly, you know, you've got your top 10. We've talked about your favorite, Tiger. So the guys we maybe haven't mentioned, maybe a couple you think Wingfoot suits them. Can they grind? Because, you know, traditionally the winner here will post the black number. Well, what are some of the names you think, aside from who we've talked about, maybe keep an eye out?
Yeah, how about Patrick Reed, the villain of the PGA Tour, if you will, Masters champion in 2018, and people don't really like to root for him, but you know what? I'm here for it. He's a prototypical grind-it-out type of golfer, really good short game, an elite putter, and if he can knock in those really important 10-footers, because there will be plenty of them for par, he's going to be right there on that leaderboard too, and I think his driver is starting to come along a little bit as well. A little bit leaky with the irons, but if you're elite with your short game and you're really good with your driver, I think you can save yourself. So Patrick Reed, a guy that I'm looking into as well. How about this guy, Patrick Cantlay, another young player, but also rates out really well. If you look at the data in terms of performances at really difficult golf courses, Cantlay's name pops up every single time I look at the numbers. So he's somebody that I'm looking into that maybe will be a factor. I don't think he has the win equity that someone like a Tommy Fleetwood would have, but I really do enjoy watching Cantlay play, and I think he will certainly be a part of the conversation this weekend.
All right, well, now I need to keep an eye out for leaky irons. Folks, he is Cam Rogers, hosts the Tiger Woods podcast as part of the Spectacular Believe Podcast Network. On Twitter, follow along at MrRogers99. Great stuff as always, Cam. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for checking in. Be well, be safe, be sane, and we'll catch up soon.
Right back at you, Steve. Enjoy the week, sir. Talk soon.
All right, take it easy.